All right, Tumasay, let's begin. So we left off last time on page Yud Ches, section Chaf Aleph. So a lot to do tonight. So he writes the following. He says, remember, Naschil Avarer B'tzura Rechava Es HaMusog Kirvas Hashem. So remember, again, the one thing we've established already over the last 2 weeks is that the idea, the ultimate tachlis of life, he was explaining, was this concept of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now remember, we have not yet defined that term. We've just said that it's the most important thing in life. So he says, now we have to begin to really explain in an expansive Chaf Aleph, to explain in an expansive fashion what Kirvas Hashem truly means. So in order to answer this, Mihu HaBori Yisparach Shemo, right? Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mishu Rasapa? Has someone ever seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu before? Mikra Mali Meid Kilo Yirani Adam V'chai? Of course, the answer to that is no, because you have a Mefurash Pasuk that says that a person can't see me and live. V'afilo al kvodo yisparach shemo, shebike shmo shabin alav ha-shalom, harini nos kvodech aliro, so patriotess. But even Moshe Rabbeinu who asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me see you, Omer la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, achora yirou, upane lo yirou. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can see my back, but you cannot go ahead and see my face. Aval asabori ba'atzmuso, i'efshar liros klal, v'zeh baru poshet. See HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's impossible. Remember again, it's one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, you know, the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ein lo guf, ein lo shum dimyon guf, he has no body, he has no physicality, he has no physical form. So as such, you know, you could behold HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his creations, you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a beautiful sunset, you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the rain, you could see manifestations of God in the physical world, but of course you cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Therefore, Kisha'anu medabrim al kirvas ha'adam. So we'll say, you already see where this is going. This is going is that here we're striving to establish the sense of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet, what's the problem?
Socialize.
Right, so how are you supposed to get close to something that you can't really conceptualize, even conceptualize will even leave for later. You can't see it. You can't, meaning, what am I getting close to? And really, what the real issue is how do I define if I'm close or not, if I have no frame of reference for what the entity really looks like or is? See, he says, Kishanu medarim al kevas ha'adun l'baris baruch shemo, bebechinas va'ani kevas elokim litov. When we speak about closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say in the pasuk, that for me, closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. Mahi ha'kavono lihios karov l'bori. What does it mean to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mahu ha'musog kirva l'bori. What does that mean? Yiduim divrei Chazal, sheles asra panoi minei. We're going to spend a lot of time speaking about this. So Chazal say that there is no place that is absent from God. You know, as the famous adage goes, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. So that ultimately is a ma'amar Chazal, that there is no place that is devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashanah is everywhere. Kilomar, sheHaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtsa b'chol makom mamish. The Ribbono Shel Olam is literally found in every single place. Ve'im kein, im navin es hamusog karov labori b'muvan hagashmi, kidug, excuse me, ve'im kein, therefore, im navin es hamusog karov labori k'muvan hagashmi. So, if we understand closeness to God, like through a physical lens, like being close to something physical, kidugmas shulchan shekarov l'kisei, im kein, so again, if closeness to God means like I'm close to the table, so just like the table is here, I'm over here, I'm close to the table. So if I say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, then by definition what? By definition, I'm close to him as well. Because that means wherever I am, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there as well. So wherever I am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there also. So then you'd have to say, according to that approach, every single person is in a perpetual state of Kirvas Hashem all the time. He says, "Shar b'chol makom sharnu mitzvah," because anywhere where we are, "chol makom sharnu mitzvah bo kam habori olam mitzvah," wherever we are, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as well. "V'im kein kulanu kirovim kol hazman lebore," and therefore, again, we are all ultimately close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. "V'im kein," so again, if this is true, that we are all close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times, then we ask ourselves a very simple question. "V'im kein." Mat page your test about a paragraph before section Chaf Beis. If that's the case, we have to ask ourselves, Mat Sorech Ba'amal Ha'adam Koyme Chayav L'Hasekir Vas Hashem? Why do we have to toil our whole lives to be close to God? After all, V'hari Berega Shenolad Humiyad Karav Labori Yisparach Shemo. Right? So again, remember, if I accept the principle that God is everywhere, which of course we accept, and I accept the fact, therefore, by definition, what that means is I'm always in the proximity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, we say this every, right? The Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, that the Shulchan Aruch begins with which phrase? Shulchan Aruch begins with the phrase, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Summit. I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Now, what does that mean? So it's interesting, you know, it was actually interesting. A number of years ago, I used to give a shiur on Tanya. Some of you ever learned Tanya. It's a fascinating, fascinating sefer. Very difficult to comprehend. Meaning many parts of it are just difficult to comprehend. But so the Baal Tanya writes, he says that Shavis Hashem Negdi Summit means that the most important thing in life is God awareness. God awareness. And if you think about it, by the way, so right, why do we sin? I mean, no one here knows the answer to this, but if I have a friend, right? So, right, why do we've heard people sin? Why do people sin? Very simply, why do people sin? So you'll say taiva. It's not really taiva, right? Why isn't it taiva? I mean, there are a couple of answers to this question. It's not taiva because if you think about it, by the way, if you were to take out a piece of paper, I want to commit a particular avera, whatever the avera is. So I want to commit gezel. I want to steal something. So I go ahead and I make a, I take out a piece of paper. I make a list of pros and a list of cons. Right, the pros for gezel, the cons for gezel. Which side will win? It's taking a little too long to answer this question. Right, which side wins? Which side always wins? I mean, say, the cons always win. Why? Because again, very simply, the answer is like this. Whatever I'm going to get from gezel, as good as it is, I'm going to embezzle $3 million. So it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. But the reality is, it's temporal. Meaning, I can't hold on to that. I that's a very limited gain. As opposed to, the fallout from sin could potentially be eternal. So when you go ahead and you weigh the temporal versus the eternal will always, so the cons will always win. So if that's the case, why do people sin? So there's a whole psychology behind sin. You know the real reason people sin? The real reason? Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichos, okay, this is just a very quick tangent. The Sichos Moser says there's an incredible episode in Sefer Melachim. So at the end of David HaMelech's life, he calls in his son Shlomo, and he tells Shlomo, gives him a list of people that betrayed David during David's lifetime. And one of the people that he tells Shlomo about is a guy by the name of Shimi ben Gera. So Shimi ben Gera was a cousin of Shaul, and when David HaMelech had to flee Yerushalayim because of the revolt of Avshalom, remember Avshalom was his son, he's not going to fight Avshalom, so he fled Yerushalayim. And Shimi ben Gera comes out as David is running away from Yerushalayim, and he curses him, and he spits at him, and he throws dirt at him. So David's generals wanted to execute Shimi ben Gera, and David said, no, I deserve it. Clearly, I deserve this. He didn't do anything. So he calls Shlomo over on his deathbed. David's on his deathbed. He tells Shlomo, listen, here's the deal. I want you to take care of Shimi ben Gera. Take care of him. So what happens? David dies. The next parak, Shlomo calls in Shimi ben Gera. He says, Shimi, he said, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want you to go. You wronged my father, but I'm going to spare you. But on the condition like this, I'm going to buy you a palatial estate in Yerushalayim, and I'm going to support you. But you may never leave Yerushalayim. And the day that you leave Yerushalayim, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to execute you. That's the only time you can have Yerushalayim. So first of all, it sounds like, can you imagine somebody said that to you? I'm going to buy you a palatial estate. I'm going to support you. You just have to, that's the only time you just have to live in Yerushalayim. He was Shimon Gera with Shlomo Zarevi. Correct. So you have to live in, you can't leave. The next parak, what happens, the Navi says, that one of Shimon ben Gera's slaves ran away. Shimon ben Gera got on his donkey and he ran after the slave out of Yerushalayim. Shlomo said, Shimi, you knew the deal, and he executes Shimi ben Gera. So Asher Chaim Shlomo, the Mir HaShiva, he says, so Shlomo HaMelech clearly knew that this was going to happen, meaning it was a setup. How did Shlomo HaMelech know that Shimi ben Gera was going to flee from Yerushalayim? So he says something amazing. He says, this is his Lashon, he says, because Yerushalayim is the most wonderful place on earth if you're there of your own volition. But if you're there because someone forces you to be there, then it's become the Beis HaKela. It's a jail. Chaim Shlomo essentially says that if there's one thing that we like to demonstrate in life, it's what? It's what? It's as they say in Hebrew, Ani Agever, right? I'm the man. I'm the man. Don't tell me what to do. It's interesting because even if you look at a child's maturation, what's one of the first things children learn to say when they're little?
No.
No. It's amazing, right? Why is like that the first thing? You could just say yes also, it's just as easy. Right? Why is the first thing no? Because from the time that we're little, we begin to grow up, we begin to flex our muscles of self-autonomy. So a child wants to show the parent that what? I am an independent entity. You tell me to go to sleep. No, I'm not going to do it. Not even because I have a reason not to do it, but because I want to show you that you don't control me. It's interesting. Where does this come from? Because this actually comes from a holy place. This comes from the idea that we're Tzelem Elokim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an independent entity and no one can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. So we're Tzelem Elokim. We have that desire to be autonomous. That's what people want more than anything in life. Normal people, meaning some people like to be dependent, but most people that have a healthy sense of self-esteem want to be independent. They don't want to. That's why Chazal say, "Soni matanos yichya." You never want to be beholden or dependent on another person. And a person goes throughout life flexing those muscles of self-autonomy. Shlomo HaMelech knew that when he told Shimi ben Yehira, "You can't leave Yerushalayim. It is only a matter of time until what?" Until Shimi ben Yehira would find a way, and again, almost like a passive-aggressive way, to tell Shlomo, "You're not my boss. Right? You're not in charge of me. You're not in control of me. At the end of the day, I make my decision." And it's incredible, Musar. Because the truth is, we do this all of the time.
Even if you knew the consequences.
We do all the time. Because again, that's how you see that desire to be independent and that desire for self-autonomy is so strong that we will express it even when it's objectively detrimental to us. So Chaim Shmulevitz, he actually suggests something that I think is very dramatic. He says that every single time we sin, he said, if you accept the premise that the cons of sin always outweigh the pros, so sin is never a good idea, so why do we do it? All right, you could say taiva, but you know, we are pretty logical beings. Even the taiva we know is going to be short-lived. If I satisfy that taiva, okay, it holds me over for a little bit, but that taiva is going to come back again. So why do we do it? He suggests to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he doesn't control us. Deep down in our subconscious, there is a desire to show God, I am the boss. I know you're God, but I'm Shmuel Silver, right? I know you're God, right? You're all powerful, but I'm a Tzelem Elokim, and I could do what I want. It's an amazing psychology of sin. You begin to think this way, you realize we do so many things in life just to be able to demonstrate that we're in control, just to be able to demonstrate that no one else controls me, that are to our... So that's the psychology of sin. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe brings down the Baal Tanya.
You can say the psychology from the reason that we sin is that even though God is close to us, we know that, and we know that, you know, even if we want to use, I mean, not to say we're in control, why can't we just say we're weak? You're saying that that's not really an excuse.
Because that's a cop-out.
Because that's a cop-out. So deep down, it's we're in control.
We know we're not so weak, because then there are times like when we want to accomplish something and we pull it together and we accomplish. I mean, if a person is, you know, an ice farf and they can't do anything in Mamish, okay, maybe you could say they're weak. But if a person is able to accomplish other things in life, it's a cop-out in the spiritual realm to say, I'm weak. I'm not weak enough to get to the game, right? I'm not weak enough to do all the other things I want to do in life, but I'm too weak to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think it's true. I think the Chaim Shmulevitz is saying that deep down, it comes from a real desire to assert our own personal autonomy. So the Baal HaTanya says a little bit differently. The Baal HaTanya says that in reality, it's because we have a lapse in God awareness. That if I lived my life with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit, if I really lived my life with that mantra, if I really believe that I always live within the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I act a certain way. When I don't act that way, it's because I forget that I'm before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tying this back to here, remember again, so the Mechaber is asking, if Kirvas Hashem just literally means this idea of just closeness to God, and God is everywhere, then by definition, I'm always in a state of Kirvas Hashem. So what am I struggling for? Therefore, he says, last paragraph before section Chav Beis, Ulam Bar Lekol, therefore it's good to everyone, V'chol Echad, Shelo Zeh Musa Kirvas Hashem, that obviously the concept of Kirvas Hashem cannot just simply be that God is everywhere, and therefore by definition, I am close to him. Ani Yoshev Liad HaShulchan, like I sit close to the table. As Ani Karav LeShulchan, Ani Yoshev Al HaKiseh, I'm sitting on the chair. As Hinani Karav LeKiseh, so clearly again, closeness to God can't be treated like closeness to the chair or like closeness to the table. Kirva min asug hazeh, lo zu hakrav leboris bar shemo. So yes, the truth is, if somebody says, I am in a state of kirvas Hashem because God is everywhere, and therefore by definition, God is next to me, that is true, that is not a false statement, but that is not the kirvas Hashem that we are discussing. So what is it? Paragraph Chaf Beis, section Chaf Beis. Hamusag Kiv LeBar Yisbach Shemo. The concept of being close to God, Hu Musag Shona LeChalutin, is something radically different than just what we'll call a proximity closeness. In Beirarnu LaAtzmenu Kafi Sheburar LaEl Shekal Tachlis Chayi HaAdam Hi Lihios Karo V'Davak LeBar Yisbach Shemo. If we accept the premise that we said before, that the entire purpose of man's life is to be close and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Kain Shuma Aleinu Levara Tchila Mahu HaMusag Karov LeBori. So we're still back to kind of where we were at the beginning, which is we have to define our terms. What does it mean to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ezo Sug Shalkir Vahizu. How do you define this closeness? Kol Zman Shalo Baru LeAdam Mahi HaMahus Shalkir Bas Hashem. As long as it is not clear to man what is the essence of closeness to God, be'eza sug shel kirva midubar, what type of closeness we're discussing, keitza yeda ha'adam es ha'derech limtzuas ha'kirvazu. So this is very important. What he's saying is, in order to know what it is that you want out of life, if you want kirvas Hashem, you can't have kirvas Hashem unless, of course, what? Unless you know what kirvas Hashem is. We have to define our terms. He says, im ha'tachlis shi kirvas Hashem einena berua. If the goal of kirvas Hashem is not clear, I don't know what it is. Behechrich shaderech lahasagas lo tiyeh berua. Well, so it's a very important yisod. You know, part of the reason, I think this is a good yisod in life in general, that sometimes the reason we don't accomplish certain objectives in life is because we're not clear on what our objectives are. I know I'm working in a particular direction, but I'm not exactly clear like what the direction is. Like, what are my stated goals in life? And if I can't articulate those stated goals in a clear and concise fashion, then it's no wonder, of course, that what? That I don't actually reach them. So if I've stated that Kirvas Hashem is a goal, but I don't know exactly what Kirvas Hashem actually is, I will never get there. He gives an example. He says, Adam hayatzarach lios nachon l'shali milyonim es kol rechusho v'chol zos lama ki lo baro lo adam mai kirvas Hashem imkin lo baro lo klal ma tachlis abechayim lo baro lo klal mahu rotze lahafik mikol chayav. So he says, you know, this definition of what kirvas Hashem is, he says the truth is our entire existence hinges on it. Because remember, we've already accepted the premise that life is all about kirvas Hashem. And I can't actualize the goal without realizing the definition. So, you know, he's a good salesman. He's building up the need. Because remember, again, the truth is in life, anything is only going to be meaningful to you if you feel that with it you'll be shalem, and without it you'll be chaser. If something is not mashlim, and the truth is that without it, I could just go on totally fine, there's no real need to acquire it. But now if I realize that life is all about the Vekos Bashem, and in order to get it, I have to create a definition. Now by definition, the definition is worth millions to me. V'im kein, lama lo chayim, im hu einu yodea mahim chayim, uma tachlisam, umahi avodaso bimei chayof. Top of Chof. If that's the case, again, if I don't know what Kirvas Hashem is, then in reality, what is the point of life, right? What is the point of existence if I don't know the definition of the very goal towards which I'm working? V'chi me'ha'eder yediyah shal ha'musa kirvas Hashem adam yizkeh liknos kirvas Hashem? V'chi yudavar ha'nikna me'ilav shein tzorach ladas klal es mahuso ves derech liknoso? Do you think that kirvas Hashem is kind of just going to walk up to you one day, tap you on the shoulder and say, hi, I'm kirvas Hashem, I'm happy, you know, nice to meet you, here's your purpose in life? Something so important, like figuring out the entire purpose of our existence, only comes about if a person searches for it. Reishis avodas ha'adam, la'acher shuhu ber la'atzmo she'tachlis ha'chaim yekirvas Hashem, ata avodas le'vahir mahu ha'musag ha'amiti shenik rekirvas Hashem. So step one is establishing what the most important thing in life is. And for us, that most important thing is kirvas Hashem. So now that I've established what the goal is, I now have to, it's working, it sounds like a little bit of working backwards, because we're establishing the goal before we even know actually what the goal is. But the truth is, remember, we can do that because this concept of creating, of the goal being Kirvas Hashem, is stated to us by Chazal. So Chazal already told us what the goal is. So the goal I know, but the shaila is, what's the definition of this process? What does it mean to be Karov to Hashem? V'rak la'achar sheyivurar la'odam leheichon bidiyu kurotzel hagia, azai it's only after a person is able to identify where I need to get to, right? What's my destination? Then ultimately I could figure out how to create the journey. He gives a mashal. Nital mashal adavar. Adam nosia miyushalayim lebnei brak. A person is traveling from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. Imhu eino yodea klal shirotze lagia lebnei brak. So again, remember, if I know that I'm in Yerushalayim and I want to get to Bnei Brak, so I understand exactly how to go ahead and create that journey. But if I'm in Yerushalayim and I don't know where I'm going, then chances are what? I'm not getting anywhere, right? Because again, I'm directionless. I'm not going anywhere. He says, because again, what's the point of even trying to go out and figure out what pathway you need to take if you don't know where you're going? Going to Bnei Brak, maybe you'll end up in Tzvat. This is a very profound idea, not just for Ruchnius, but even in life in general, that, you know, very often we get so caught up in the day-to-day and the putting out the fires and the smaller tasks and this, that we don't really have a clear conception as to where we are going. Like, what are we actually headed towards? What is our goal in life? And I'm sure you could apply this in a business model, you could apply it in a career model. You know, what's the goal? What am I working towards? And very often people just work and do and work and do, and without any stated goal. And the truth is, we know, because we've been in situations like we've all been in situations that we don't really get very far. So just like in the world of Gashmius, if you want to accomplish something, you need to have a stated goal. You have to have a destination as to where you're trying to go. Then you could create a strategy how to get there. In the world of Ruchnius, it's no different either. You know, if you're just going to daven, you're just going to learn, you're just going to do chesed, that's all great, all beautiful. But if I don't have an actual like destination that I'm heading towards, then it's very difficult to plot the journey. Now, again, remember, we are working on a very broad destination. It's the destination of Kirvas Hashem. But the point is, in order to know how to reach that destination, I have to know what Kirvas Hashem actually is. Ilu ne'emar, she'ef shalavar es hamusa Kirvas Hashem. If we would say that it's impossible to clarify what Kirvas Hashem is, v'chi HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovea me'adam davar, she'ef shalahasigosom. Now remember again, it can't, so maybe you'll say, well, Kirvas Hashem is just too amorphous. It's just too big. That can't be true. Why? Because God would never ask of us to get to a destination that we're incapable of reaching. It has to be that it's attainable by every person. So remember, we'll say, he's giving, you've seen already that the style of this sefer is, it's not really like a get to the point sefer. I'll just understand, he's not just like drinking a cup of tea. To understand, like this is a style. What he's trying to do is, you see, there's one of two things that happen when you go ahead and you learn this kind of sefer, right? Number one is you say, get to the point already, right? Now, second week, we're still not going to get to the definition, right? Get to the point, and the truth is, you know, forget it. And the truth is, to a certain degree, that's kind of what the Mechaber was aiming for a little bit. There's a little bit of like a Borer process over here. Because the idea, what he's trying to do over here is, do you feel it? Right? Do you really feel what it is that he's trying to get out over here? I need to get somewhere like this called Kirvas Hashem. But in order to be vested in this process, A, I have to really believe that I need it. And B, I have to believe that unless I fully understand it, I won't be able to get there. And if I can't get there, my life will be incomplete. Until I have that. So he could have given the definition 2 weeks ago already, and we would have gotten the definition. But this is the build-up, because again, before we get the definition, we might have to feel that, like, I really need this. Like, you know, like I leave, and it's another week until I figure out the answer. I'm going to figure out, like, how do I get by for the next week without knowing what the definition of Kirvas Hashem is. So that's just, he's not just being redundant for the sake of being redundant. There's a profound build-up over here. Look at paragraph Chaf Gimel. Ilu ha'adam lo zocha adayin leida beberu, mahi Kirvas Hashem amitis. The person doesn't yet know what true Kirvas Hashem is. Hare shechoser yediyah zu einena chos yediyah prati b'tchum mesuyam. Elazeu chosar yediyah b'chom hosachan. As we were just saying before, if I don't know what Kirvas Elohim is, it's not just that I'm missing like a Judaic definition. I'm missing the fundamental meaning of life. מכיוון שתכלס כל חיי האדם בעולם הזה, ותכלס כל מעשי האדם בעולם הזה, הן לימוד בתורה מקיום מצוות, בין מעשי הראש של האדם, אינם אל דבק בעוסקונו. Now that we know that all of my actions, all the Torah I learn, all the chesed I do, all the mitzvot I do are for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's dveikos b'Hashem. Nimtza she'im eino yodea dveikos b'Hashem mahi, eino yodea berura mahi tachlis chayiv. If I don't know what dveikos Hashem is, then you know what? I don't know what the purpose of my existence is. Ve'im lo yodiyam berura mahu mahusam v'tachlisam apinim yishakom ha'asam. And I won't really discover what the inner depth of all of my actions truly is. Hu yachal lilmol Torah l'kayim mitzvos. A person can learn plenty of Torah, do plenty of mitzvos. Ulam hu ein lo yodea l'heichal limod ha'Torah v'kiyam mitzvot tzrichim l'hobilos. So we'll say, this we spoke about many times before. And the truth is we could relate to this, which is that you could spend your life serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing all the right things, and yet not feeling somehow that you're complete. And that's for a very simple reason. That's because at the end of the day, a feeling of life completion only comes about when? If a person knows that they have accomplished a sense of Dveikos Hashem. And I can only accomplish it if I know the definition. Let's just do one more section, then we'll stop for tonight. Nitan Chav Dalet. Nita Mashal Dara. Let's give a good mashal for this. His mashalim are very good. Adam Chasra Dira. I don't have an apartment. Person wants to buy an apartment. So what happens? So chasach la'atzma meshach kesim shana b'chol chodesh chodesh sikum mesuyam ad shela achre kesim shana is kam to be the sikum shama oshev shaliknos imam based deal. So what happens? For 20 years, every single month I put a little money aside, and so at the end of 20 years, I finally have enough to buy an apartment. La'achre shekala sikum biyado adam. So now again, I have all of the money in my hand. So I set out, right, to have my paper bag filled with all of my money. And what happens? I set out to find an apartment. Ulam, hu einu yodea heichan mochrim diros. Only one issue, which is, I don't know, where do they sell apartments? Right? Meaning, where's the realtor's office? Hu yoshe v'choshev heichan mochrim diros. I begin, I think to myself, where do they sell apartments? V'lo olib ha-machshavto shum kivun. And the truth is, no matter how much I rack my brain, I don't remember ever seeing any real estate offices anywhere. Who misya'it im yedidim, v'hei mefanim osa la'anoshim she'mismatzim benidom. So what happens? I consult with my friends, and they tell me where to go. Ha'adam halaz, eino makshiv la'atzasam lifnos la'anoshim shoskim b'tchum zeh. So what happens? But I figure, you know what? I don't need to listen to those people. Rather, v'hu yoshiv u'mishar lo ha'sharos heichan mochrim, ulai kan v'ulai kan. So what happens? So now I speak to my friends, where do I find a realtor? Buy apartments. They refer me to some people, but I decide, you know what? I don't need to listen to them. I'll find it on my own. And I spend days, I spend weeks looking for people who sell apartments. Ha'adam halaz kol sikum adir biyado. Listen to the nimshal on this, or the mashal on this. So this person in this mashal, he has all the money necessary, but yet v'dira inlo. He has no apartment. Ki hu eino yodea heicher mochrim dira. So you see the power of where this metaphor is going. Some person, I could have all the money. Meaning in this case, he has all the tools necessary to buy the apartment, but yet what? No apartment. Why? Because he doesn't know where to look. Because he doesn't know where to find what it is that he's looking for. Let's end with this. Doma hua adam shemek. Listen to this. This is very powerful. Shemekayim mitzvos velome Torah la adam ala. So this can be compared to someone who learns Torah and does mitzvos. Yesho la adam tama Torah mitzvos. So a person could spend a lifetime acquiring Torah, acquiring mitzvos. However, ulam hu eno yodea keitzad konim im Torah u'mitzvos elu. As habilvavi mishkan evna. Well, so listen to how powerful this is. A person could have a soul filled with mitzvot and a soul filled with Torah, and yet what? They still don't know how to find God. They still don't know how to build that mishkan, how to build that dwelling space, and how to have a dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liknos bais pnimi benefesh shebo yishkon or Hashem. They don't know how to acquire or how to build for themselves an inner home in my soul in which God could reside. Vashem yisparach shemo yodr bilbavo. In order to allow God to dwell in my heart. So we'll say very profound mashal. The idea is that in life, you could have all the right tools, all the right tools. You have plenty of money, in the figurative sense, plenty of Torah, plenty of mitzvos. But unless, of course, I know how to go ahead and actually create a sense of Dveikos B'Hashem, I'm like that guy wandering aimlessly around with a paper bag full of money, ready to buy an apartment, but yet unable to seal the deal because I don't know where to look.
All right. There are a lot of people like this. I don't want to say most, but
yeah, connect the dots.
I think many of us walk around like this in life because simply we think that as long as I'm learning and doing mitzvah, doing chesed, I'm good. And now the truth is, that is good. But that's why this mashal is so powerful. Many of us are walking around life with those bags full of Torah mitzvahs, but no idea like what to do with it. No idea how to seal the deal or where to make the divine purchase, where to buy the Bilvavi Mishkan Emet. That's exactly his point. Because what's missing? We know all the mechanistic aspects. I know the Torah, I know how to learn, I know how to do mitzvahs, I know how to do chesed, and I do it b'leiv shalem beautifully, but I don't know what kirvas. But remember, all of that is a means to get me to the goal of kirvas Hashem. The problem goes back to our base problem, which is, we don't know what Kirvas Hashem is. And if I don't know what Kirvas Hashem is, it's impossible for me to seal the deal. All right, so we'll stop over here. Emir Tzah Hashem. We'll pick up paragraph Chafei next week.